Hello, everyone. This is Mike Hague with Race Day San Antonio, and this is a special podcast featuring the NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship 4 drivers. Today's podcast will feature the 4 interviews from the NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship 4 drivers. First, we're going to hear from Justin Allgaier, driver of the number 7 JR Motorsport Chevrolet. Here's what Justin had to say.
Here this afternoon, and to kick us off, we're going to start with Dustin Long and then Claire. There's Claire. All right, we're going to start with Dustin Long and then Claire. Go ahead and follow in behind Dustin. Go ahead, guys.
Justin, I'm just curious with your daughter and how invested she's been in your racing, and as she's gotten older, probably has a better understanding of things now, even more than even a few years ago. What's she saying and doing around the house this week? Because I'm guessing she's probably got to understand how important this is. And will she be at Phoenix? And if so, what would it be like to celebrate a win and a championship with her and your wife?
It's funny because, you know, as she gets older, obviously, I think, you know, what I do as a job, she starts to understand that more and more. And you know, it's been a little bit weird because 2020 has obviously been extremely different than what we would normally have, right? And so with them not traveling on a regular basis, and really with the way that the schedule's been kind of changed a little bit, I think it's finally, she's understanding, okay, this is the last race, and you know, the playoffs have gone the way that they've gone. And so I think she's excited for that. She does get to travel to Phoenix, which I'm beyond pumped about. They don't get to come into the racetrack, but you know, just the fact of them being there, her and my wife both, means a lot to me. You know, it's been probably one of the more rough circumstances of 2020 is just not being able to travel with them, being gone and being on the road and just not being able to travel with them just because we've been so used to it over the last number of years. So, you know, glad that they're going to be there, but she's excited. You know, one of the things that I love is when she painted my helmet for 2020, you know, her thought process immediately went to putting the cactus or the cacti from Phoenix, the logo, on to my helmet. And so I told her the other day, I said, if I do win at Phoenix and we win this championship, you're going to have to paint cactuses or cacti on my helmet for forever. Like, as long as we're doing a playoff helmet there and the season ends at Phoenix, you're going to have to keep putting those cacti on there. So, you know, just proud of her and, you know, just seeing the person that she is growing into and becoming is really special. So hopefully, you know, there would be nothing cooler than to be able to celebrate a championship and do it with her and my wife both being there. And it'd be a good celebration.
You mentioned it's been rough this year without that. What particularly has been so rough? Certainly in one sense, it's fewer days at the track, so you're not gone as much. But what's been rough from your perspective, not having them with you?
Well, honestly, I've probably been gone as much or more just because of, you know, hanging out and being on standby for the Cup side of things and, you know, not being at home. And you know, I think it's a little bit different because obviously I've not been able to be in the track on Cup days. I'm kind of in the area. So, you know, I normally I could, you know, hang out in the motorhome or hang out in the garage or do whatever. So, you know, them not being there kind of adds an extra element to that just because of trying to stay distance from everybody and everything. I mean, you know, let's be honest, as a racer, number one, my goal has been to not get COVID just because I don't want to miss a race. Right. But also too, on the other side, that affects the backup role as well. And, you know, how ironic, I guess it would be, is if a backup driver gets the virus that you're trying to be on standby for the guys that could potentially get it, right? So, you know, making sure that you're staying distance and doing that in a good way has been really rough. And I think that, you know, as my daughter has gotten older and with school and with all of those things, we knew there was going to be a lot of change anyways for, you know, their travel schedule. But we weren't quite expecting, though, to kind of have to jump in with both feet and really do the way that we've done it. I think the other part of that, though, is, and I think a lot of you guys can sympathize with this, is, you know, we went through lockdown, and our family really stuck to the lockdown. I mean, we didn't leave the house unless we absolutely had to, you know, and I'll never forget the day my wife said, "Listen, you've gone to the grocery store like 3 times now. I'm going this time because I just need to get out of this house. So like, I'm going to the grocery store today because I just need to get out of the house." But that being said, we've been together as a unit through this lockdown and you know, seeing each other 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So to go from that to just not seeing them for, you know, 2, 3, 4 days in a row really, really made it difficult. And I know it's the times we live in, and there's a lot of folks out there that are struggling a lot worse than what we are in this scenario. There's a lot of folks that have lost jobs or lost loved ones or have been separated from their loved ones, not being able to see them. So I'm not complaining in that regard. I just know that, you know, as a whole, this whole sport has definitely missed the fan interaction. They've missed the family interaction and really what the sport has kind of been all about.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead, Claire.
Unmuting. All right. So I want to ask you about the biggest challenge of Phoenix. When you put your head down on the pillow, what comes to mind again and again and again about running for a championship? Four drivers, which driver finishes the best? That's the champion. What comes to your mind when you think about Phoenix and what you got to do there?
I think the biggest thing is the unknown. You know, each Phoenix kind of has its own, I don't know, they all have their own little mini things that are different, right? There's no two Phoenixes that I can picture back in history that have kind of been the same. They're always a little bit different, you know, especially with the addition of PJ1. You know, there's just a lot of unknowns with the racetrack itself. But then you add into, this is the first time we're going for a championship at a racetrack with Phoenix, right? I look back to last year and you know, this being the final round before we went to Homestead. And to be honest with you, Martinsville had a lot of the same feel to me that Phoenix did last year, right? There's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of stress, and like you get to that moment. The advantage for me this year is I feel like in years past, I've not been great at Homestead. I don't ever really feel that comfortable at Homestead. I've not really pictured Homestead as that place that I'm excited to get to, right? It makes for fantastic racing, and I love watching the Truck Series race. I love watching the Cup Series race. And if I'm not in the Xfinity Series race, I loved watching it as well. I just didn't like to be a part of it because I just never felt like I could do a good enough job to really put myself in position to go for a championship. So I look at Phoenix as being statistically one of my better racetracks, a racetrack that I really enjoy going to, and our team has done a fantastic job of being good at. And so it's a completely different feel for me for 2020 and going into this finale. But again, I think the circumstances are different. You never know what your three other competitors are going to do for a win. You never know what the other drivers on the racetrack are willing to do for a win, right? It's the last race of the year. Everybody wants to end on a high note before we, you know, take the winter break to go to Daytona again. So I think that's the kicker of all of this for me is just the unknowns.
I wish you good luck. Thanks a million, okay?
Thanks, Claire.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Jason Brown. Go ahead, Jason.
Thanks, Amanda. Justin, thank you for your time. And I guess this almost in some ways is similar to Claire's question, but you know, as opposed to some of the cutoff races where you could be racing for points and points racing, that type of stuff, here you know what you have to do. How much as a driver do you appreciate and like that type of format because you know who your other three playoff competitors are and you know what the strategy is? You know what you have to do to come away with the championship. Is that much easier mentally for a driver to have to deal with going into a race like this?
Yes and no. You know, I think that it's interesting because within our battle, right, and kind of going back to what I said a minute ago is you don't really know what the other competitors are willing to do. You know, we have to be mindful that there are, you know, plenty of other drivers that are still battling for points positions, right? This isn't just about, I mean, yes, this is about the final four and going for a championship, but there's plenty of other battles going on amongst the field, right? And so, you know, stage points are still in play for all of those guys. You know, the race wins are still in play for all of those guys, right? I mean, they're all going for that same thing, right? And they're still pushing themselves. So I think that's about three other competitors in our circumstance versus, you know, whether that be the round of 8 or round of 12. And stage points have been so pivotal in 2020. If you look at the playoffs, stage points have been the make or break, right? And there's been some hugely, vastly differing strategies and how to get those stage points or how to get race wins to kind of see all of that play out. And I think that's what makes this championship four finale format so interesting is the fact that you're not racing for stage points. You're not racing for anything but a race win or beating those other three, right? We could finish 30 33rd, 34th, 35th, and 36th, you know, and if that happens, I'm not sure that our fans would enjoy that. I just hope I'm 33rd, right? So there's a lot of uniqueness, but I think the other thing that really it's going to be really interesting is we've not raced it at Phoenix with a choose cone or choose rule, right? We've always been stuck to you're in whatever lane you're stuck in, and that's where you restart. That's determined a lot of races at Phoenix Raceway, a lot of races. And being stuck in that wrong lane is hugely pivotal. Now, if we're in the wrong lane, it's our own doing, right? We chose to be in that lane. And so we've got to really do a good job of managing that. And, you know, I'm glad I've got a great spotter in Eddie DeHaan. We've done a lot of work in these last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, preparing on these restarts and trying to get on a really good page as to what the right answer is. You know, restart after restart. Ideally, you start on the pole, which we do. You lead every lap and you win the race. You don't have to worry about all those other factors. But I somehow have a sneaky suspicion that that's not going to be the case.
What a great answer. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Mark Garrow at PRN. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. Justin, 2 wins at Phoenix. You have a very experienced team. You now are a veteran driver. Been there, done that, most of it anyways. Is this your best chance to win this title?
Well, veteran just means old. So we'll start with that. You know, do I think it's the best shot we've had? Yes. Not from a standpoint of this year, am I a better driver or is our team in a better place or anything like that? I just feel like for whatever reason, I already mentioned, I love Homestead. I always felt like there was something missing, right? There was something that from my standpoint, whether that was a feel, a way to describe what I needed in the car, like it was just always something that we did that I just felt like I was lacking. And that's disappointing, right? As a driver, when you don't feel like you can go into a racetrack and give your team the effort or the speed that they need, right? That's extremely difficult position to be in. And so Phoenix is one of those places where I do have a lot of experience. We've had some success there. We feel like our balance of our race car is really good there. We feel like we understand what it takes to run a good race there. So yes, I do think that this is my best opportunity at winning a championship. Now, that being said, again, so many unknowns. I guess the ARCA race is right literally before our race. So you're going to have a different brand of rubber down on the racetrack. The weather's supposed to be, you know, considerably cooler, I would say, than what normal is based on the projections of the forecast. And so I just, I want to be excited and I want to say, hey, we got this on lock and everything's good. But I definitely think the unknowns are what's going to make the determining factor of 2020 Phoenix a really interesting battle all the way to the very last lap.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, Justin, thank you so much. That's all the time we have with you today. We know you have to get to your next stop. So thanks again for joining us.
As always, thank you guys and appreciate all you guys in the media. I know this is kind of the last one of these before we hit the finale, but 2020 has been crazy. We appreciate you guys sticking by and doing all the things that you guys have done for our sport. So hopefully we can give you guys something good to talk about for not only, you know, the weekend to come, but for, you know, a couple of months to come before we go back to Daytona. So thank you guys for all you guys are doing.
Thanks, Justin. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Next, we're going to hear from Chase Briscoe, driver of the number 98 Stuart Haas Racing Ford. Here's what Chase had to say.
We are going to get in as many questions as we can, and we will start with Jenna Fryer. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, Chase. Hope you're doing well. You and Marissa have been pretty we're fairly open about some struggles you guys have been having and more so in the past week or so. How's everything going on personally with you and Marissa?
Yeah, it's, you know, been a crazy week, obviously. You know, fortunately it's never a good thing, but we were way earlier this time than we were the last time. And just something that we both, you know, after the first time, you know, we had a miscarriage, the amount of outreach and people that, you know, we felt like it helped, you know, making it public, you know, we just felt the same way this time. And honestly, you know, Marissa, it just helps her a lot whenever she can read other people, you know, comments and tweets and all these things. And, You know, that's another reason we've just kind of been open about it. And I feel like it helps me too going to the racetrack. If I was going through that and nobody knew what I was going through, or, you know, the stress or whatever at home, it just makes it a lot easier for me to have people know what's going on instead of trying to hide it. So it's definitely been a very unfortunate week. It's been a tough week. It's been really hard on Marissa, and, you know, obviously it's been hard on me as well. So, you know, we're trying to stay positive and obviously get through this week and, you know, then figure out what we got to do going forward.
How do you feel? You feel ready to race? Are you clear and ready?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I feel like I've always done a good job at kind of keeping the two separate, and, you know, truthfully, I think it not motivates me more, but just, you know, it just helps me get in the race car and kind of get away and really focus. And yeah, I feel, you know, 100% ready to go this week. No different than any other week.
Thank you, Chase.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we'll continue with questions, and we'll take our next question from Casey Campbell. Go ahead, Casey.
Hey, Chase, how are you? Thanks, Amanda.
Good, you?
Doing good. Thanks again, Amanda. So, Chase, coming into this championship, you know, I know everyone knows you set your goal at, you know, 8-9 wins. You have those wins. Now you're trying to get, of course, win number 10 in the championship. How confident are you heading into this weekend at Phoenix? And what did you learn the last time you were there?
Yeah, I felt like we made some good gains the last time we were there. You know, I feel like the results don't necessarily show the speed we had. We had a miscue on pit road with, you know, towards the end of the race, and had to go from the back and got back to six. So I feel like speed-wise, we were pretty good. You know, and statistically, it's not my best racetrack, but, you know, we still won 9 races this year. You know, the confidence is high. I feel like we've been the best team all year long, and there's no reason why we can't go to Phoenix and be the same way. So, you know, I feel like we're going in there with, you know, nothing to lose, everything to gain. Just got to go there and do our normal deal, and, you know, no different than all the other 32 races. If we just go there and focus on the 98 car, nobody else, you know, I feel like we're going to be in the hunt, at least at the end. And as long as you're in the hunt, you got a chance for it. So that's what we're trying to go do.
The off season is, you know, after this race, it is the off season. Do you have anything you want to accomplish during the off season? What your goals are getting ready for the Cup Series in 2021?
You know, I'd like to probably get in a little bit better shape just going into next year with the length of the races. You know, just really focus on that kind of that side of things. Just being as physically as prepared as possible going into next year. You know, I've talked to quite a few of the Cup guys, and they don't feel like the, you know, the physical side running those longer races is necessarily any tougher, but, you know, I just feel like that's something I could definitely improve on if I had to, you know, pinpoint one area. So, you know, it's a short off season, obviously, with all the preparation, you got to get going ready for Daytona. And then that's just a quick turnaround in general. Plus I'll do some midget racing in the off season. So, just trying to get, you know, better in shape, probably just overall. You know, physically, mentally, all those things, just trying to be ready for next year.
All right. Thank you, Chase. Thanks, Amanda.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. We're going to take our next question from Alex Andrea. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, Chase. Marissa tweeted yesterday that you guys had some good baby news to share after she suffered another miscarriage. And I was just, you know, if you don't mind, I was hoping you could just update us with what that news is.
Yeah, I don't want to go in too much because I don't know what she wants the world to know and what she doesn't want the world to know. But really just kind of the next process of talking to her doctors about, you know, kind of why it's been happening and, you know, what the, you know, the next prevention measure, I guess, could be the next kind of thing we can try. So, you know, I'll let Marissa talk about it if she wants to kind of say that more of the details. But, you know, the doctors feel like a lot more confident that this will kind of help our situation with what Marissa deals with. So hopefully, you know, that'll be something going forward that'll help. I know that's obviously been super hard on both of us, and especially Marissa. So I don't want Marissa mad at me. So I'll just get it out there, but yeah, just kind of the next process and kind of the next thing to try and, you know, our path of trying to have a kid.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, what, I guess, would it mean for you then to win this championship in a season that's been so personally challenging with these difficulties? I mean, and how much do you feel like that's either hurt or enhanced your performance on the track kind of?
You know, I feel like, you know, no matter how high the high is on the racetrack, it never compares to that kind of low. But it does help, you know, balance it out a little bit. So, you know, it'd be obviously great to win the championship. You know, I don't know if it necessarily gives me any more motivation one way or the other. You know, I'm going every week to win the race, no matter what happens during that week. So, I don't know. I think, yeah, it'd be great to win the championship, but I don't think that necessarily helps the low of lows. But it has been, you know, obviously a really unique season for everybody, just with COVID, and everybody's kind of had a rough year. And, you know, it's been no different on our part, but there's people that have a lot way worse year than we've had. So I'm just very fortunate that we have the, you know, the potential and the possibility to kind of have those, you know, high moments still, because there's a lot of people that are stuck at home that can't do anything where they can achieve any of those things. So for us to be able to kind of have something that can potentially offset the lows certainly helps.
Thanks so much. Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Chase, obviously the competitors, the championship competitors can have, I guess, family and friends at the track this weekend. Will your wife be there this weekend? And if so, the opportunity to potentially celebrate a win, a championship with her, what that would mean, because I'm guessing she hasn't been anywhere since the beginning of the season this year with you.
Yeah, so – yeah, that's a great point. And she's only been to Bristol, but she wasn't able to celebrate. Obviously, they didn't allow anybody to come down there where for the championship they will. So as of right now, she plans on going to Phoenix unless something crazy happens. She's terrified of flying. And normally a 20-minute flight has her freaking out. And obviously Phoenix is a lot more than 20 minutes. So she's trying to muster up the courage to go out there. But hopefully she'll be there, and hopefully I can, you know, win the race and the championship, and we can finally, you know, have that moment to celebrate together. I feel like it'd be good for both of us. Obviously, or, you know, she really hasn't been there for a lot of my wins in general this year. She's only been able to go to that one race and didn't get to celebrate after. And outside of that, she's only been at the Roval and when I won at Iowa. So we haven't really got to celebrate a lot of success together on the racetrack. So this would obviously be the biggest one to this point, and hopefully, you know, she can make the flight, and then secondly, I can win the championship.
So how did you, in the past, on races that you won, you would celebrate when you got home, or what would it be like with her when you got back from a win this season?
Normally, I'll just FaceTime her afterwards, you know, after the media or before I go do the media. And then when I get home, it's normally so late, she's asleep anyways, and, you know, we just wake up the next morning, and it's just a normal day. So, you know, just being able to finally celebrate with her and, you know, get to see her emotion, because normally I don't get to see the raw emotion of right after a win. So, you know, hopefully it happens, and hopefully we can have that moment.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we're going to continue with questions, and we're going to take our next question from Mark Guerra with PRN. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. First off, congratulations, Chase, on a great season.
Yeah, thank you.
You've certainly earned your way to the championship four. When Kevin Harvick got knocked out the other night, he said, okay, look, the championship's a bonus. Winning all the races and doing all they did during the regular season was really what it was about. Is that what it's about? Or, you know, now you've won all those races and made the championship four, would it be a huge disappointment not to win the championship?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and one that, you know, with today's playoff format, you know, technically you could win the first 35 races of the year and, you know, blow a motor early in your fourth in the championship. So, you know, I don't think you can let, you know, winning a championship necessarily define your season. You know, if you win two or three races and you win the championship, then I would say, yeah, it defines your season because you're the champion. But if you have a year like Harvick had where you go win nine races and you don't even make the final four, you know, you don't win the championship, I don't think you can say, hey, you know, this year was a failure, because, I mean, winning nine races is a phenomenal year. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it would – I mean, yeah, you're going to be disappointed if you don't win the championship, but at the same time, you know, we've won more races than anybody else all year long, and that's what you start the season to do. You try to go there and win every race and win as much as possible, and we've been very fortunate to be able to do that. So, yeah, we're going there to win the championship, but at the end of the day, you know, whether we finish first or fourth, we've had a really good season and one to be proud of, and, you know, hopefully we can win the championship, though.
Taking a larger view of this year, you're sitting here now with all the wins, chance for the championship, cup ride for 2021. What's that like to be where you were and then where you are?
It's unbelievable. It's so humbling. It's unbelievable and crazy to think about, you know, or that you go back 5 years and I was literally just walking into random race shops trying to let me volunteer and sleeping on couches. And even going back to, you know, literally this weekend last year, I had no ride. And now to be, you know, have a 25% chance to win the championship, to have won 9 races this year, and, you know, be going into the Cup Series next year for not only my dream team, but my dream number, you know, all those things, just so crazy to think about. So it's, you know, been an unbelievable journey the last 5-6 years. And just, you know, I've certainly been blessed to be able to get to this point. And the way it's all happened and came full circle has just been really unbelievable to think about.
Thank you. Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
Now we're going to take our next question from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Chase, the other three drivers are going to be back in the series next year, I kind of assume, with potentially their same teams. Is there any feeling of urgency for you that this could be the last time you're kind of working with this group, at least for a while? And does that impact, you think, yourself one way or the other?
You know, I think, you know, for me, you always want to go out on top. Anytime you leave, you know, any team or any series, you want to be the bar, or not be the bar, but you want to leave on top. You want to feel like you didn't leave anything out on the table. And I've been super fortunate in ARCA. I was able to win the last race of the season, win the championship. And the Truck Series, I was able to win the last race that season. And that's always been as I progress to the next year. So hopefully, you know, the third time continues to be that way. But, yeah, you definitely want to do that. You want to reward those guys. You know, I've been with the 98 team for 2.5 years now. And without them guys, there's no way I would be moving on to the 14. So, you know, that's, I want to say thank you to those guys, and I want to give them a championship. That's what they all deserve. You know, they've worked so hard, not only this year, but the last 2.5 years. And, yeah, you want to go out and you definitely have a little bit of added pressure, I think, just in general, of wanting to make those guys proud and want to go out on top as a team.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
Next question will go to Claire B. Lang. Go ahead, Claire.
Thank you. What do you see as the biggest challenge of Phoenix racing for a championship there? Like when you put your head down on the pillow, what is like in your mind, you know?
I think for me, just the racetrack. You know, not that I don't get around Phoenix great. I just statistically haven't had the success that I'd like to have there. It's a place I've always kind of struggled to just get the balance that I need. I think that's the biggest thing at night, is just constantly, all right, what am I doing wrong? And what am I telling the team that I need different? Because I feel like, you know, in practice, I can get the car to drive good, or maybe it's not driving how I want it to, but then I'm faster, and just kind of that balance of what you need versus, you know, what the car is doing. I think that's the hardest thing for me. And truthfully, I'm kind of excited for no practice just because I feel like I've tuned myself out every time we go to Phoenix. I kind of think I need one thing and, you know, the race starts and it's the total opposite. So hopefully the no practice thing will kind of bode well for us. I feel like we've got, you know, a pretty good baseline of where we need to be. And, you know, just being fortunate enough to be locked in these last couple of weeks has allowed us to really focus on Phoenix and go to the simulator and do all these things. And hopefully, you know, that all correlate over to real life and we'll have a good balance.
Is it all stuff you have to learn, or real quickly, is part of it mental, that when a driver hasn't had success at a track, you kind of got to get it out of your mind a little bit, especially in a situation like the Final Four?
No, for sure. You know, I think, you know, confidence is such a big deal. You know, I feel like my confidence level this year has been a lot of the reason just for the success. You know, when you're confident, you're not second guessing things you're doing on the racetrack. You're just reacting and going. And, you know, when you go into a racetrack that you're confident at, you normally run good. So, Yeah, for me, you know, statistically, I haven't ran there great, but just trying to keep in, you know, the back of your mind, you know, we've won 9 races this year. You know, we're going to be fast. You know, we've been kind of the guy to beat all year long, and there's no reason why going to Phoenix, we can't be that same way. So just trying to keep that mentality and that confidence, I think will go a long way. And, you know, it's not that we've been slow at Phoenix. It is results wise, you know, things haven't went our way at the end of races and whatnot. We just don't have the, you know, the wins in the pile that we'd like to have. So hopefully we can change that this weekend.
Sounds like a plan. Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire.
All right, Chase, we have time for one more question and we're going to go to Dustin. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Chase, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago that you'd reached out to Kevin Harvick about helping you at Phoenix. I'm curious, how was he able to help prepare you for this weekend?
Yeah, so obviously with Kevin, everything going on in the playoffs, I haven't even reached out to bother him. I know he's got a lot going on. And then this week, obviously, I know he's probably bummed out. So I'll call him probably on Saturday, truthfully. I've just been kind of letting him have his space. I know he's a super busy guy. And, you know, I think the plan was for him to come on Monday and help with the simulator. And then, you know, after everything on Sunday, we didn't even reach back out. We just let him kind of have his space. So I'll call him before Saturday. I'll probably honestly even talk to Tony. He always got around there pretty good. So just trying to use all those things. And I've talked to Kevin in the past at Phoenix. You know, last year I went and stood on their trailer all of practice with Rodney and just tried to listen and learn as much as I could. So I feel like I have a pretty good, you know, understanding of what I need to go around there. It's just, you know, kind of talking to Kevin and even Tony and kind of just making it a refresher of kind of what I need.
Thanks, Chase.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Chase, we appreciate your time. I know you have to get to your next stop, but thank you again and best of luck this weekend in Phoenix.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys.
All right, now we're going to hear from Austin Cindric, driver of the number 22 Team Penske Ford. Here's what Austin had to say.
All right, we're going to start with questions. If you have a question for Austin, please raise your hand within the Zoom platform or send us a chat. We will monitor that as well. And we're going to take our first question from Claire Belang. Go ahead, Claire.
Thank you. Austin, when you think about running for the championship at Phoenix and you put your head down on the pillow, what's the first thing that you think about trying to navigate that track and beat the three other contenders?
It's a 200-lap race. There's 199 ones that you can screw up and not put yourself in position on the most important ones. So with this format and with the way our races have gone over the last 6 weeks, I've been worried about points the entire time. And now I can just worry about where I finish. The stages are just time for me to drink water and get ready for another green flag run.
That makes it easier, I'm sure. How aggressive do you think it will be amongst the competitors as somebody pulls off the championship in the Xfinity series?
Yeah, I mean, we've all watched Xfinity races enough this year to know that we're going to be pretty aggressive as far as whether if that's just packing air on each other or maybe some contact. But I'm not going to make any speculation, but I'm sure everyone will be given 100%.
And you're willing to be aggressive if you have to?
I think I'm not doing my job if I'm not. I think you have to be fair. I mean, this is racing at a pretty high level, and I think we're all professionals. So I expect that out of my competitors is a professional level of racing, but at the same time, I expect them to go for it.
Good luck, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Bob Pockris. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Austin, before it was announced that you would come back next year, I got the feeling that there was a lot of questions, not just for you, but for even your guys and whether Penske would have an Xfinity team next year. So I'm curious if the dynamic has changed at all since the announcement that you were going to be back and there was going to be a 22 Xfinity team next year.
No, I don't think the team dynamics changed really a whole lot. You know, I think approaching this weekend, I mean, that's the number one goal is to make it to Phoenix. And for everyone that's on that team, myself included, this is the most important weekend, most important opportunity in my racing career, as well as pretty much every single member on that race team. I think the only one would be excluding Coleman Presley, who's got a shot to win a cup championship on the next day. So from that side of things, I think the team's in a great spot. I've got a lot of guys that are very confident in my abilities, and now I'm confident in theirs. And I think that's it's been a fun team dynamic to have.
And I'm also curious, has there been many discussions yet on what cup races you'll do next year?
There's been some discussions within the team. I think the first thing to get out there was the Xfinity schedule and understanding what that looks like and from a personnel side, what's possible. But I think where my desires lie is I want as much of a variety as possible. I want to learn as much as I can, whether if that's putting myself at some tough racetracks or being able to go have some success at others that I feel strongly about. So, and then when it comes to partners, you know, what racetracks make sense for the partners that we're going to be able to have on those races. So I think there's a couple of variables there, but my desire is to have a variety.
So you want to do all road courses, because then you potentially wouldn't learn as much as you would need to.
There's only six and there's 30 plus races. So I feel like I'd be doing myself a disservice to not go out and learn something, but also perform well at some of the other types of racetracks, whether that's mile and a half tracks and short tracks. But the thing I need to keep in mind for my development is understanding, you know, does that next gen car really relate well to that 550 package and the big splitter and the big drag and so on. So those are all things that we're still considering and trying to figure out. But yeah, I want to do just as many ovals as I can road courses. But I will say that I am extremely excited that Road America has a cup race on 4th of July weekend. I think everyone's going to really enjoy that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Dustin. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Austin, I'm curious, no matter what happens on Saturday, you obviously got the five wins. So what will you remember the 2020 season for, personally?
Well, there's a lot of things, obviously the obvious within the industry, but I think for our team is that we did what we knew we've been capable of, whether if that's halfway through last year or at the start of 2019. So for me as a driver, it's been gratifying to put that out there, not just feel that within inside me, but also to put it on paper. So I think that's been an important part about this year and kind of validating myself within the sport. And then on the flip side of things, it's been a little frustrating because I feel like there's a lot of races this year that we were either the best car and weren't able to like capitalize or had things out of our control really put us out of position to win a race. So I'm very motivated for 2021 for those races in particular. And when I say those races, I feel like there's quite a few. So I'm very excited to have an opportunity to go for it again. I think my team is excited for the same reason. So looking forward to having a shot this weekend and as well to start all over next year.
Sweet. Thanks, Austin.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take another question from Marty with ROC Sports. Go ahead, Marty.
Thank you very much, Amanda. Austin, just one question here for you, man. First off, congratulations on making it into the championship four. With the way the Xfinity Series championship has played out in the past 2 years, combined with the way you, Briscoe, Allgaier, and Haley have been competitive all year, do you look at that situation where it's a must-win situation to go for the championship?
Yeah, I think you have to approach Phoenix as a must-win situation. Just because, like you said, the competitiveness this year has been off the charts, but also the predictability of who's going to be good on what day. So I think that's been fun from a competitive side to try and figure out, but also I think anyone who's watched and enjoyed watching Xfinity races this year. So I don't think you can underestimate any of your competitors, and I think we got to bring our best foot forward.
Perfect. Thanks, man. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Austin, can you just kind of, you've had success at Phoenix, I think with top 10s the last four races there. Can you kind of take me through restarts and the challenges and what it might be like this week, especially now with the choose rule in play, something that hasn't been in play at Phoenix before?
Yeah, I think the choose rule definitely adds a small dynamic. I feel like, for me, the choose rule hasn't been as effective. I mean, we go to a place like Martinsville and you figure there's going to be guys lined up throwing it on the bottom to make sure they can not get lost in traffic. But really, you can gain a row and you take it. So I don't feel like that's going to play as big as a factor. I think only depending on how the PGA 1 comes in this weekend, I feel like that'll play a role as far as what's the dominant lane. I think the other thing to consider is that there's plenty of fast guys, whether if that's your Harrison Burton, who's won the last two races and is in the shot to win pretty much most weeks. Guys like that, guys like Brandon Jones, guys like Ross Chastain that don't have a shot to win the championship this weekend, but are going to be racing aggressively to just win the race. And the restarts at Phoenix are always crazy to where we pan out six wide or whatever on the apron, trying to get track position. I feel like, inconsequentially throughout all three series, that could definitely play a factor as far as the nature of the restarts at Phoenix.
And also, you mentioned some of the other guys that'll be racing with that don't have that championship hopes. How do you expect or to be raced by somebody that's not a championship contender?
Well, I've been in that position the last 2 years, and I feel like I've been extremely respectful about the situations, and that's been at Homestead. So that's something that I'm just as interested about as well. I don't expect to be given any breaks, but I think some respect definitely needs to be given in those situations. As far as when it comes to racing people hard for a position that you probably don't already have, that's the places where I feel like as competitors this year in the Xfinity Series, we usually seem to push that envelope pretty hard. So I just hope there's enough respect for everyone's situation. And if there's not, oh well, can't affect it.
I'm going to ask you is I know the title contenders can have family or friends at the track this weekend. I guess, is it a case that you'd just be like your parents or anybody in particular that'll be coming to watch? And if it's like your parents, would this be like one of the first times they've been able to be at the track to see a race this year since the pandemic?
I can't remember if they were able to go to Charlotte or not, but yeah, both my parents will be able to be at the racetrack, and I'm excited for that. That, I mean, my dad in general doesn't usually get to watch me race very often, but my mom's someone who comes to almost all of my races and hasn't been able to come to almost any this year. So I'm sure that they're both excited for that opportunity, but as well as you know, some of the leadership within our team, you know, some of the guys haven't really seen a race since the Daytona 500, and now they've got a shot to go watch on Saturday and Sunday their cars to race for a championship. So I'm very excited for that opportunity. Hopefully get to warm up the crowd there on Saturday and cheer the boys on Sunday.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
All right. We'll take our final question from Tucker White. Go ahead, Tucker.
All right, let me just press record. Austin, we've seen with the Choose V rule that the distribution for the lineup on restarts has been surprisingly even compared to what I thought we were going to see this season. Like, why have we not seen a scenario where all but one or two cars choose just one line and those other two just choose the other line?
I feel like a two-part answer, I guess. One, I feel like the speeds of our racetracks are much higher than the speeds of the tracks that traditionally use a choose rule, whether it be your quarter mile Legends car race or a 3/8 mile oval or whatever it may be. So I feel like we're going a lot faster and we have a lot more time to make up speed, and aerodynamics play a huge role in that. And track position plays a huge role in that. If you can gain a row, that's track position. So from that standpoint, I feel like that's why it hasn't been maybe as effective as maybe you would have hoped. But I would say on the flip side, at the back of the field, it is really difficult to pick and choose and understand what's a gain and what's not a gain. And I'm sure there's probably more analysis on the Cup side when you've got a top 20 that's extremely competitive. But from what I've seen, I feel like that's been the hardest part about the choose is not when you're in the top five or the top 10. It's when you're back behind the top 15 or the top 20.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Austin, we appreciate your time. We wish you the best of luck this weekend.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
And to wrap up today's special podcast, we're going to hear from Justin Haley, driver of the number 11 Colleg Racing Chevrolet. Here's what Justin had to say.
We are going to roll straight into questions, and we're going to start with Mark Garrow. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. Again, Justin, great season. Just how do you feel about your chances going in? You're kind of looked at as the underdog. Do you kind of enjoy that role, or do you feel you're the underdog?
Yeah. Obviously, I feel like I'm the underdog, always have been, but I feel like we're very capable. If you look back at the spring results, we were the highest finishing championship four driver in that race. That doesn't mean much, but I feel like our short track program has improved quite a bit since then. We're taking our Richmond car that we finished second to Allgaier with, and we're extremely fast with, tweaking on that thing for a while now. So I feel like our shots are very good. I feel like Like you said, a lot of people are counting us out, but I don't feel like that's the case at all. Our short track program's great. I feel like we've been, you know, at least getting better at Phoenix, and looking forward to it.
And my other question is just what would it mean? You're still very young in your career, just really getting underway. What would it mean to you to win this Xfinity Series title?
Yeah, honestly, I've been straight up with a lot of people all year that, you know, all I wanted to do was win races. I never really cared about championships as a race car driver. And then you kind of get yourself in these positions and you start caring a little bit more and more, and the stress builds up. So I can tell you I'm going to be a lot more stressed out in Martinsville than I probably am about this race. You know, we kind of had to get ourselves in the final four, prove that we could do it, proved a lot of people wrong that we could get ourselves in the final four. And now Phoenix is Phoenix. So yeah, championship's going to be great, but I still want to go out there and win races and show everyone that I can do it and that Colleague Racing can do it, and that we can compete for championships year after year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Claire Belang. Go ahead, Claire.
Thank you. How much is winning at Phoenix confidence for you? Colleague Racing is a very confident race team, and you're a very confident young driver. How much will it take on the confidence level to pull off finishing tops among the four contenders?
Well, I think it's pretty even across the board. Obviously, we have a lot of confidence. We feel very confident about what we've done on the simulator this week. We feel very confident about what direction we're going in. We feel confident about how our car looked on the setup plate, on the pull-down machine. I've been reassured by team president Chris Rice and my crew chief Alex Jantz that this is the best car that I'm going to be driving out of college. So I'm really looking forward to it. Like I said, we've crossed every T, dotted every I that I can think of. We've been bouncing ideas all week. So I think that we, going into it, have an advantage because we have nothing to lose. We are the small team. We are the ones with 20, 30 employees. The 10 team went over and final checked the 11 car. The 10 team has been a very important process of the 11 going to the racetrack, and so is RCR. RCR's looked at it. There's been a lot of people that have touched the 11 car and gone over it. So I feel very confident. I feel like we have just as good a shot as anyone.
Do you feel like that getting, which is what Chris Gabehart said about Denny Hamlin, getting to the final four was key? Anything after that is ice cream. You just go do what you do. Is that how you feel? You just go race your butt off and, you know, what happens, happens?
Yeah, I mean, like I just said, I'm always going to be more nervous at Martinsville, the cutoff race, getting into the final four race than I would be the final four. All you can ask for all year is getting into the final four, then whatever happens, happens. And a lot of things in racing are out of your control. A lot of it you can't control, especially with no practice. If the guys are as good as we say we're going to be, and we unload with an extremely fast leaf flip grabber tech from Chevrolet, then we should be pretty good, right? But if we miss it a little bit, that could be the end of it, and we could be chasing something that's not going to happen all day. So it's a difficult time we live in, but everyone's got to play by the same rules.
You go have some fun at Phoenix. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, Claire.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Pete with WSBT. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Justin, I've got two quick questions for you. First of all, if you would, just kind of take me through your strategy for this weekend, you know, what you feel like you need to do to come away with this. And then secondly, if you would indulge me, what would it mean to you to win a championship to cap off this season?
Well, obviously, we got to go out there and beat the other guys. I feel like I said, we are in a pretty good position. I feel like, the race is going to play out like it's going to play out. I feel like we can't do anything different. We have to have a good day on pit road. We have to have a good, solid day in general, just on the racetrack. So just having a solid day, putting it together, seeing where we come out with the final stage, last few restarts. And then, like I said, on the championship standpoint, I've never really been a driver that has cared too much about championships, right? Like when I was a kid growing up trying to make it in this sport, I never was like, man, I want to be a cup champion. I never want to be an Xfinity champion, right? I just wanted to win races. Like that's all I cared about. And I think a lot of that plays off that, when I did grow up racing, I wasn't winning track championships. I was all over the country racing all kinds of different cars. There was times where I'd be in four or five different kinds of race cars on a road course, dirt and oval, all in the same weekend. Like, I never raced for points. And that dynamics obviously changed, right? As I come through K&N, won the East Championship, come through trucks, made the Final Four, and now Xfinity in the Final Four. So obviously it would mean a lot to win the championship. I think it'd mean a lot for a lot of people at Leaf Filter. They've put a lot into the sport, everyone at College Racing. So I want to be the driver that does that. And I'm very fortunate that I was the driver that made it into the Final Four from the college camp.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Justin, just curious if you could give us your background as far as the evolution that you have seen at College Racing and the investment, you know, both in time and support that Matt College has given to this organization in such a short period of time.
Well, obviously College Racing is a new race team, right? And I've been telling everyone the past week that when I signed on to College Racing 2 years ago, I sat in this very room, I believe, and Chris Rice was like, "Hey, man, this is a 12th place car right now. Like, we're gonna have to work. We're gonna have to put our heads down, and we're gonna have to turn the program around and keep going with it. And we're gonna have to go out and build it and build you. And right, it's gonna take some time. It's not just gonna be we're gonna go win a race and you know in the first season or the first 6 months. And you know, I believed in him, and he believed in me, and we all kind of believe in each other. And Matt Colleg and Leaf Filter and Nutrien Ag and Chevrolet, they've poured a good amount of sponsorship into this program for us to be able to build new race cars, right? Like you can want to succeed all you want, right? But if you don't have the sponsorship to go out there and spend the money on the parts, on the motors, on the chassis, on building new race cars, on getting the good people, none of it's going to happen. So it all stems from Matt Colleg and what he's put into this race team. And you know, I said it today, like when I came over to College Racing, they had one top five as an organization over 3 years. And now we've completely blown that out of the water. And to be a part of that has been pretty special for me to kind of just be a small part of building this program to what it is.
And is that why you felt confident to re-sign with them? I mean, you know, we've all heard the rumors about them going to Cup because, you know, I'm sure there were opportunities for you to go to Cup with another team had you had wanted to next year. But is that primarily, you know, what you basically have said, why you have decided to stay the course with College?
My decision was majorly based off of the next gen car. And it being delayed another year, I feel like it was just the right opportunity was given to me with Matt Colleg and Chris Rice and what they presented to me for the deal next year. I couldn't pass it up. I truly could. I'm extremely happy at College Racing. I appreciate all the other offers and definitely feel very blessed to have gotten some of the ones that I did. But you know, there's just that comfort feeling, right? People don't like change, and if you feel comfortable somewhere, especially for me, I'm not one to really enjoy change. So at some point, change will have to happen, but I'm one of those guys that kind of likes to stick and you know, really feel out what I know.
Appreciate your time, Justin. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, we have time for one more question, and we'll go to Mitchell with Popular Speed. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Justin, do you believe that being labeled the dark horse is almost an advantage, being that it might have less pressure with it than being considered somebody that might be more of a favorite?
Well, there's two ways to look at that, right? If you're the favorite, you're the favorite for a reason. Because you've gone out there and dominated or done whatever, right? But I feel like I'm not only the dark horse on the track, right? Like, I've read so many comments that, you know, about how Justin Haley isn't deserving to be in the Final Four. Like, what makes me not deserving to be in the Final Four? You know, like, what goes through someone's mind to say that I haven't put out just as much hard work and have, you know, worked long hours and cried long hours over the night trying to figure out, you know, why we're running 10th. So saying that is, you know, part of it, but that kind of drives me, right? Like, I've always been that way my whole career, and You know, a lot of people have always doubted me, and a lot of people in the industry have doubted me. And you know, I always seem to come out on the better side of it, not the great side of it, right? But I feel like I've always been in a very comfortable position where I come out and, you know, a lot of people bet on a lot of other drivers, but I always bet on myself. And that seems to be working quite fine for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Justin, we appreciate your time today. We know you have to get to your next stop, but thank you again, and we wish you the best of luck this weekend in Phoenix.
Thank you.